Lord, I thought I was off the hook here this morning. Praise God. You know, when you get this awful beeping sound when it's off the hook. Right? The phone. I don't know if they do they have those kind of phones anymore. I don't know. I'm used to that kind. Praise God. Don't you love the Lord this morning? Amen. What a privilege to serve the Lord. Praise God. I do appreciate the opportunity and the privilege to minister this morning. And I've been living with this passage of Scripture. If I seem a little redundant, it's not intentional, but I've been seeking after the Lord. The Lord has put this on my heart, and it just seems like the more I read it and the more I pray about it, meditate on it, the Lord opens up something else out of that. The Bible is a living book. You can read it 1,000 times, and then the next time you read it, the Lord opens your understanding. And it's the same words that were on the page, but new vistas are opened up. And so it has been my prayer that the Lord, well, it's my habit. The Lord knew who was going to be here this morning. Nobody else did. And, well, looky there. I can't remember that guy's name. What's his name? I forgot what your name was. Brother Lee. Yes, 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 yes. Welcome. So nice to see you, my brother. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What a surprise. And so we're going to read one verse. We will repeat some things, not to bore you. Maybe you're bored to oblivion already. I don't know. But let's read 2 Peter 1:10, and we'll talk about other verses, but this is the goal. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Now, does anybody in here know somebody that's backslidden? That once was here and not here, that once knew God and now they're out in the world. Nobody has to backslide. Paul talks about some people that were fallen from grace. But you say, well, how did that happen? Well, I'm going to tell you, God is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. Hallelujah! So that need never happen. You can be seated. But it's not a sit on the couch and coast into heaven on a roller skate. Or a skateboard. Or a surfboard. There are some things to do. Everybody say do. Now, James said, be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. For he that hears and doesn't do is like a man that beholds his face in the glass or the mirror and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of person he was. And what I say about that is, it's like the guy, he looks in the mirror and he sees he's got scrambled eggs in the corner of his mouth. And he says, what do you know? Got scrambled eggs in the corner of his mouth. And then he goes to work and forgets he don't wash his face. And he wonders why people laugh at him. Because he saw the need and admitted it was there, but didn't do nothing about it. And so there are some things we have to do. By grace are you saved through faith. You cannot do enough good things to merit or earn salvation. But once you are saved, there's things to do. Amen. Amen. Now, I've been living with this verses of scripture for a couple months, and it, evidently. So it says that we talked last week according as his divine power has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. You could say a life of godliness. Not only that, whatever you face in just ordinary life, God has already, through His Word and through the Holy Ghost, has given us everything that we need to deal with, to cope with, to meet, to overcome, to, in life, to have the answers to life's problems. You will find the answers in God's Word. He's the Creator. He knows what goes on in this world. He knows. Well, look, He is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of your heart. Now, how would you feel this morning if all of a sudden your thoughts were on these screens? Well, it's on God's screen. You ain't putting nothing over on Him. I'm not putting... I was sharing with Brother Boss a verse of Scripture that is very precious to me. And that is, and it seems kind of weird, but its Scripture says, all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are open to the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. That's in Hebrews, I think, the second chapter. That is such a comfort to me. When I go to God, I don't have to go through a bunch of explanations. He already knows. I don't have to figure out pretty words. I can just tell it like it is. Because He already knows about it anyway. And there's no need of me trying to hide or dodge. And sometimes it's ouch. And sometimes it's, oh God, have mercy. And sometimes it's, thank God for your mercies. Because He knows. Now, His divine power, this is not human power. We're not, there is some element of willpower involved, but it's not all about willpower. It's about His power. Because what I cannot physically do, He gives me His grace. It's not just His favor. It is His enabling power and His divine power. This is God's thing, His ability, what maybe I don't even want to do initially. Now, none of you probably have ever said this to God, but I've talked, and I'm not bragging about it. I'm just trying to be a little transparent here. There have been times and things that I've said, God, I don't want to do that. And when I was really carnal, I said, I'm not going to do that. I'll give you an example. When I was pastoring, I tried to pastor this woman. I never did succeed. But her lifestyle was very opposite of the way I live. Not talking about spiritual, but in just her outlook on her philosophy of life was this. And the Lord spoke to me one time, and He told me, she was always late to church, and she didn't have a car, and people always had to go pick her up, and so she was slower than molasses in January. And because she was slow, she wouldn't be ready when they came by to pick her up. So not only was she late, her daughter was late, and the people that picked her up was late, and I was irritated. And I've been praying about this, and, you know, I can't let it, irritation shows on me real quick, and I have to really be careful. And so I was praying about it, and I was telling God, I'm pretty ticked off about this, God. This has gone on for a long time now. And the Lord spoke to me and said, give her your car. And I said, I'm not going to give her my car. And the Lord said, give her your car. And I said, I don't want to. She don't deserve it, God. And so, don't do any good to wrestle with God. You're going to lose. And so, her birthday rolled around, and I gave her a card, and in it, it said, one Oldsmobile 88. She says, what that means? I said, we're going to the Department of Motor Vehicles. And the pink slip is in this. Now, I didn't really want to do that originally, but God has a way of making you willing. And the Bible says it is accepted if there first be a willing heart. And there was some other place when it went in Exodus when Moses was taking up an offering to build the tabernacle, it said, they gave as every man's heart made him willing. It wasn't, anyway. And how did it work? It worked to the point that I don't think there's ever been a time since, and that's been 4,000 or 5,000 years ago, that a preacher got up and said, throw away the offering baskets. We're not taking any more offerings. That's what Moses did. So what happened? The Spirit moved up in them and they were willing. No wonder the Bible said, if you be willing, obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. And so it's divine power has given us all things that pertain to life. Sometimes there are some things that you may heard preached or taught, or you may read them or you can read them yourself in the Bible that you may not initially like or want to do or to be. But I promise you, if you will say, God, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, you'll find out, or be whatever you want me to be, or go. There will something come over you that will absolutely transform your mind. You'll be amazed yourself that your thinking was changed. And that's what it means to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Paul said that the things like this that he once hated, he now loves. And the things he used to love, he now hates. What is that? That is a renewed mind. That is what he's simply saying is the mind of Christ came over him. And it affected everything he did. Amen. Now, I want to notice some words here. First of all, in verse 3, it says, according as divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Godliness is a word, it's a compound word. It really means godlikeness. There's something that will come into your life when the Holy Ghost comes in your life. In fact, initially when you receive the Holy Ghost, if you will just say, if you will follow the promptings of the Holy Ghost immediately. You may not understand the reason why you do something or don't do something. But the Holy Ghost is a teacher. And we'll bring this out. If you will immediately respond to the prompting of the Holy Ghost, it will be easy. There's a lot of things that will be accomplished in your life living for God without necessarily somebody dedicating a whole week's Bible study to it. Now, just accept this as an illustration of what I'm fixing to say and just take it for what it's worth. I was in my office studying one day and seeking after God, and there came a knock on my door. And I opened the door, and it was one of our brand new converts, a young lady. She just had received the Holy Ghost. Well, I don't think she'd have the Holy Ghost more than a week or two. And she was I was standing in my office door open, and she was standing there, and she always had this real shiny, just smile. And I called her by name, and I said, "How are you doing?" She said, "Pastor, I have a question for you." I said, "Okay." And she worked for Kaiser Aluminum over in the town of Oxnard. And they made chrome wheels for diesel trucks. This woman worked there. This girl, lady. Just got the Holy Ghost. Excited about God. And she said, "Pastor, you know I work for Kaiser Aluminum." I said, "Yeah." She says, "I drive a forklift." I said, "Okay." And she said, "I don't feel good about this something on my job." And I said, "What are you talking about?" And she said, "Well, you know, we have uniforms that we wear over there, and everybody wears these certain kind of coveralls, everybody." I said, "Okay." I said, "What's the problem?" She said, "I don't feel good about wearing them coveralls anymore." She just had the Holy Ghost a couple weeks or so. But she said, "I need my job, Pastor." And I said, "Why are you asking me this question?" She said, "I don't know. I just don't feel good about it. What am I supposed to do?" I said, "Well, what do you think you ought to do?" She said, "I'll tell you what I'm going to do, Pastor." I said, "Oh, okay." She said, I'm just going to wear a skirt. And if they don't like that, I'm going to wear some leg warmers underneath that skirt." There had never been a Bible study taught on holiness to that girl. There hadn't been any reading in Deuteronomy. She didn't know how to say Deuteronomy, I don't think. Couldn't pronounce it anyway. What I'm saying to you is, the Holy Ghost pricked her heart. She's only had the Holy Ghost 2 weeks. There's some people been in church 20 years and they ain't got it yet. But she got it. Because her heart was so tender, she was so in love with Jesus, she was wanting to be everything He wanted her to be. She was one, if they give me trouble, I'm quitting. And the Lord made a way for her, and she worked there for quite a while, and then it wasn't a long time. She ended up getting a job driving the school bus. We had about 5 ladies in the church that drove school buses, and she became one of them. And what I'm simply saying is, His divine power will enable, it will quicken, it will enlighten. If we put it off, I don't know if anybody, if you felt the Holy Ghost pricking your heart. You just wake up just one day, you just don't feel good about something. Or one day you do feel good about it, and it's a change deal. If you'll immediately just say, "Yes, Lord." And whatever, even though you don't even maybe understand the wheres, fors, and the whys, if you'll be willing, obedient, Because the Holy Ghost prompted you. Hello? Or maybe Pastor preached about it and just kicked it as he went by. Pow! Other people, it hits them in the head and they don't even know it. But the person, other people, you know, some people, you just got to get up in their face. But I don't want that attitude towards God. I want Him to be able to prompt me and move me and His divine power. If I'll go right then, if I'll do it right then, if I'll say, yes, Lord, He'll move me. Now, it says He has called us. Brother, Pastor Fisher preached a tremendous message yesterday about the call of God. Now, when we talk about the call of God, we're thinking about a called ministry. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. But every one of us in this building right now, the fact that you're here, you have been called. You've got the Holy Ghost. No man can come unto Him except the Father just draw him. Well, that's why you're here. And so there's a calling. In fact, the Bible says, make our calling and election sure. We read that. And so we're the called of God today. He called us out of darkness into this marvelous light. Read 1 Peter 1:9. It says, but you're a chosen, I can't even remember it all right now, a peculiar people who have, that you should show forth the praises of Him that hath brought you out of darkness into this marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God. Would you look at somebody next to you and say, you're a people of God. You're a person that God called. We're a people. When I talk about a people, I'm talking about a tribe. I'm talking about a clan. Hallelujah. I think I read somewhere in some book, it might have been fiction, I don't know, but one of the names of the early Americans, Native Americans, their name meant the people. I don't know if it was Apaches, Cherokees, or Chinese, I don't know. But I just know that from what I read, the very name means the people. We're the people. I want to tell you today, we're the people of God. We are the people. We're His. And so we were called to that. Everybody say called. You know, many are called, but a few are chosen. Someone said many are cold and some are frozen. But no, we've been called. What did He call me out of? I was in deep darkness of sin. I didn't know where I was going, but I was going to hell and didn't know it. One day a preacher preached on hell and said, that's where you're going. I said, no, I don't want to go. And that night I got the Holy Ghost. And so He called me out of darkness. And so we've been called to glory and virtue. Let's talk about virtue. It's defined a couple of ways. First of all, remember when the story in the Bible, when the woman with the issue of blood. Remember that story? 12 years. Suffered many things from many physicians and steadily grew worse. She woke up one morning and something sprang up in her heart and she said, I know if I touch the hem of His garment, I will be made whole. Now, God didn't send her a telegram. And when she touched Him, though Jesus was thronged, pressed on, bumping Him, jostling Him, when that woman came through the press, not the news, but the press of people, she reached down and touched the hem of His garment. The Bible says, there went out virtue. Kind of goes back to divine power, doesn't it? So one usage of the word virtue in the Bible means power. He's called you to a life of power. You're not helpless. Oh, you may be helpless in the flesh, but since you've got the Holy Ghost, you've got the divine nature now. You're not powerless. So I said, oh, I just couldn't help it. Oh, yes, you can. Because His divine power. And so one definition or usage of virtue is power. It went out from Jesus. And He's called you and me to have virtue in our life, that power goes out of us and touches people. When I was a little bit, well, I got to go to California and do it. I got two houses to roof in California right now. But there for a while in Ventura, I was roofing houses and I was tearing off shakes and because they're very fire hazard and you can't have a shake. You can't get a new shake roof in California. At one time, it was a premium roof, but you can't get it now. And so, in the process of tearing off these shakes, they've been on there probably 30 years, 35 years. It would blow your mind the amount of dirt and dust that's in those shakes. And so, I'm up there tearing them off. I'm not in a suit and tie. I'm in physically working clothes. And I've been tearing them off. I've got dirt from here on down. In fact, well, I wore a hat so it didn't get in my hair. But, and I remember this day I went into Thousand Oaks. I needed some ice to put in my thermos jug. And I went in there to buy a bag of ice. And I mean, I had dirt all over me. Sweat had run down my face, and there was streaks of mud down my face. And I'm standing in the line there. I'm in a hurry, and when I come up to the the lady beeps my stuff, and she said, "You're a preacher, aren't you?" I didn't look like one. You wouldn't recognize me. I said, "What made you say that?" I didn't say I am. I just said, "Why would you think that?" You know. And she says, "There's just something. He called you. It's not just coming to church and sitting on the chairs. And He called you and me to be an influence." Did you know that Jesus sent out the disciples? He sent them to every city and village where He Himself would go. Before Jesus physically got there, He sent His kids. They didn't even have a Holy Ghost yet. The Holy Ghost wasn't even poured out. But there was something being in contact with Jesus that moved their life. So whenever they came around, people just felt something. And so He's called you. He wants His virtue, His power. He gave it to you. He wants it to go out. So when you step into a crowd or when you're with somebody, they automatically begin to feel. They may not know what it is, but they know there's something. And that gives, when they mention that, that opens a door for you to talk, to say, to win. Now, the other definition of virtue is moral purity. That means we don't lie, don't steal. It also means we're not sexually immoral. Now, if you think the world, oh, well, back then it was easy. I'm going to tell you the world was as wicked then as it is now. Did you know the church, there was a church in Corinth that the state religion or whatever, the religion of the Corinthians, which was part of the Greek culture, that church, not the God's church, but the church of the world, was supported by 1,000 prostitutes, men and women. And God called those Corinthians out. That's why Paul says, come out from among him, be you separate, saith the Lord. They had to live an exemplary life so that the people in Corinth would know that they're not part of that culture. And so God called us to a life of virtue. That we are to lift up a standard. This world is just crazy as a June bug. Sin is rampant everywhere. We've gone through what they call the sexual revolution. That was way back yonder in Corinth's day. But it impacts us. And here we live. The Bible says that we live, we shine as lights. Our life is to shine. And so He's called us. He called us to be saved. Yeah. He called us to be His child. Yes. He called us so we could go to heaven. But He also calls us to lift up the morality in our town. We want to change it in our community. We do it one at a time. And by living an exemplary life, He called us to glory and virtue. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. Paul said, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Think about that. Hallelujah. Now, because He has called us, there's a verse I want us to read. If you would open your Bibles here, there's two verses. Philippians, the book of Philippians, you know, the Philippians. No, Philippi. Look what Paul said to them in Philippians, the Philippian church. This was a church that was started in a jail. The preachers were in jail. Okay. Now, here's what he says to them. 9:19. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Now, when we talk about judgment, we're not talking about condemning. We're not talking about that. Judgment is the ability to make correct decisions. Have you ever met somebody that didn't have any judgment? Boy, I don't want to live around them people. Okay, now notice he says, and we may not go no further. I'm not out of time. I got 14 minutes. I got 11 minutes. Here's what Paul was praying for them, that they would abound. That means to be more and more. Overflow. Abound yet more and more in knowledge and in judgment. If you have knowledge, you accumulate knowledge, you're supposed to be able to make better decisions. Okay? And so he's praying to the church, for the church. He said, I want you to be more and more in knowledge. And of course, we said he's called us to glory and virtue through the knowledge of him. Okay, all right. Now, he says here, that you may approve things that are excellent. That what do we approve in our life? What do we allow in our life? That we may approve what kind of things? Not just common, ordinary, crummy things like everybody. Well, everybody's doing. I remember one time I was in the sixth grade, and I had been on the traffic control. I'd been out there. I wore this badge and everything, and holding out the stop sign and all this stuff in front of the school and directed traffic. Oh, you know, here's a 6-year-old car. Man, we have power. We could stop those cars. We could make them turn around. Anyway, and so as a reward for this voluntary service, they were going to take all of the traffic control kids to Porterville Theater. Now, I'd never been to a theater. And so I came home. I was all happy, man. I was jazzed. I said, Mom, guess what? What? Everybody on the traffic control, they're going to take us to Porterville Theater, and we're going to see, I forget what it was. And I was so happy. And I said, everybody's going. you would like, no, you probably wouldn't like to hear my mother. But my mom, well, she had to be a dad and a mom to somebody like me, you know, was, and that was a taxing job. I'm really not that bad. Somebody told you I was bad. I'm not that. I used to be, but I'm not now. And so I was smiling at my mom, and I was saying, Mom, everybody's going to, on Saturday, everybody's going, we're going to, I don't know. I was so excited, I didn't know, I'd never been in a theater, but I thought, boy, here's my chance, I don't even have to pay. And so my mom, she said, everybody's not going. Oh, I said, oh yeah, everybody on the safety patrol is going. I'm real dense, you know. And my mom says, no, everybody's not. I said, what do you mean everybody's not going? Everybody on the safety patrol's going. And my mom, she didn't even crack a smile. She said, no, everybody's not going. I said, what do you mean? She said, you're not going. My mom made a judgment on the basis of knowledge. Where'd she get it? Out of the Word of God. And so, Paul says, I want you saints at Philippi. You know, a pastor don't want to go around making a decision for everybody. That is a headache. Amen. Because if he makes the decision, now he can set the standard, but he can't make the decision for you. And so he don't want to have to make all your choices. God gave you the Holy Ghost to teach you from the Word of God. And the Holy Spirit move on you. It'll prick you. It'll guide you. It'll direct you. And Paul's praying for this newborn church. And he said, I've been praying that your love, notice, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and spirit. Your love may abound more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Why? That you may approve things that are excellent. You'll put your approval on what is good. Excellent means above and beyond the norm. It means above average. Did you ever get any on my report card in school, I used to get some E's. Believe it or not, it was in behavior. Boy, did I have them fooled, you know. But I'm saying, excellence. We're supposed to be striving. Oh, I just want to be an average saint of God. Hey, wait a minute. Let's be excellent. Let's strive for excellence. Let's press towards the mark of the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And notice this. He said that you may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere without offense to the day of Christ. I got this word study from a Methodist preacher in Lumberton, North Carolina. We were arguing about the name to be baptized in the newspaper, and I met this man. He told me this word, sincere. You know what it means? It's the Greek word elikrines. And what it really means is without wax. Wax. That's in your ears. Sometimes you clean up. But no, he said, when the Greek potter, if he was a reputable man, when he made a vase to sell, he would hold it up to the sunlight. And if he didn't see any cracks in it, the disreputable potters would fill it with wax. Guess what happened when you put hot soup in it? It leaked. But when the Greek potter of a reputable man lifted up, he looked at it, he didn't find any cracks. He would say, Elikrines, tested in the sunlight and found to be pure. God wants us to be pure. He wants us to be without cracks. He doesn't want you to leak. He wants you to hold it. He doesn't want you to pray through on Sunday night and be leaking on Monday. You got it? And so that's what He's called us to, glory and virtue. Now back to this. I'm going to try to close here real quick. We have exceeding great and precious promises. You know, I reminded the Lord of this last night. I didn't sleep hardly any last night at all. I was little sketches of it. And I don't know what my mind was spinning, and I just couldn't go to sleep. Or at least for very long, anyway. I'd wake up. But the Word of God says, He will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. We're talking about precious promises. The angels of the Lord encamps about them that feareth Him and delivereth them. I will never leave you or forsake you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the world. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. We're talking about precious promises. We're not just talking about, oh, this or the... Well, one of them is the Holy Ghost, yes. But I'm simply saying, these things fall to us. He's close there. And so, He gives us His divine nature, glorious promises. And then He uses... it says here, having escaped the corruption. The word corruption is that which causes rot. When you got the Holy Ghost, the Lord took out of us that which causes rot. You look at our society. Is it rotten? Is it rotting right now? You used to be a part of that. Smell just like that. But he called us out of that. Now, I'm going to stop right here with this one word. And beside this, giving all diligence. I'm going to say what diligent means. Diligence means to make haste. Make haste. And you can read the rest of that verse, and maybe next Bible lesson we'll pick up there. But diligence. We should not procrastinate. I read in Bartlett's famous quotations about procrastination. It said, put off until tomorrow only those things you're willing to die having left undone. So what I'm saying is this. When the Lord begins to deal with us about things, don't say, well, one of these days I'm going to do that. When I grow up, I'll be a Christian. No, no, no. We start off as a babe in Christ, but we're growing from there. So when the Lord talks to us, maybe it's strange, a new thing to you about some things, whatever. Not itemizing it today. Give all diligence. As soon as the Lord touches you and pricks your heart, do it right then. Do it right away. Don't wait a while, because you will talk yourself out of it. You will have 14 reasons why you shouldn't. And this isn't fair, and that's not fair, and what about them? And no. Just immediately respond to the Lord. And it will be the easiest thing you've ever done. But I promise you, if you put it off, there'll have to be Bible studies and sermons and fire fall out of heaven to move you. I want to be easily moved. Can you stand? We're going to worship. I'm so thankful for the tender mercies of God. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for that today. Hallelujah. Let's begin to love Him. Hallelujah.